Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It's myself and Andrea Cleary. I'm Niler 9 and that's Andrea Cleary there. Hello, Andrea. How are you?
That's me. Hello.
On the other side of the
Good morning.
Audio divide. We're
both
here.
It's the morning time here. It's a cold, crisp winter's morning. And there's no better time to talk about today's topic than this, I think.
And what is today's topic, Andrea? Please tell me.
Today's topic is another one in the series that we do here, which is officially titled Andrea's Favorite Weird Little Guys. and today's topic is Sufjan Stevens. Much in the vein of the Fortet episode we did last month, it is connected with our live event that will be happening this month.
Next month
at the Big Romance, and we won't give you too much information about it because I'm afraid to say it's sold out and we're sorry, but it's there. Keep an eye out for it. There might be more tickets if people return some tickets or something, but we're going to have a listening party and we're going to listen to the Illinois album, Sufjan Stevens and Andrea Cleary and Niler 9 invite you to come on Feel the Illinois. So that's next month and we're very excited for it, but today we're going to talk about Sufjan, and I'm going to talk a lot about why I love him and my favorite songs of his and go through his discography, his kind of official albums. We're not really traipsing off into the collaborative projects. That might be an episode for the future. But today is Sufjan as you find him in the record store and a bit about his background and life. And I'm so excited.
Yeah, so Andrea's going to take the lead on this one because, I mean, I guess I've been right about Sufjan for like 13, 14 years now. Probably 2010 was when I first really, really, really wrote about him because Illinois came before the existence of the website or just about. No, maybe it was the first year. Was it 2006?
2005 was Illinois.
That was the first year. Yeah, actually. So I must have written about it. I did when I first started the website in 2005, I did a best songs of 2005, and let me see if any
Let's
of
see
those
if you were right.
Got it. LCD Sound System Tribulations was up there. Gorillaz, Dare, I had Arcade Fire, Wake Up, Jose Gonzalez, Crosses, Fortet, Sun, Drums and Soil, Saul Williams, Talk to Strangers, TV on the Radio, Staring at the Sun, Tegan and Sarah, Walking with a Ghost, M83, Don't Save the Flames, blah, 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 blah. Loads of stuff there.
Big year.
I did. I had Chicago in at number 15.
Yay.
Yeah, beside MIA, Galang, and Aesop Rock, Face Melter, and Broken Social Scene, 7-4 Shoreline. There's some absolute classics there, Niall. Should be a lot higher. But anyway.
We should revisit 2005 as a year. Because
a lot happened there.
It was certainly a time. it was a time in music. It definitely was.
Well, it's my time.
But yeah, and I think, you know, when we were kind of deciding on albums for the listening party, I think the first album that I suggested to you, like from my camp, was Illinois, because it's such a beloved album. Sufjan is so beloved. He obviously had his return this year, kind of a return to form this year with Javelin, So it feels right that we take a pause at this point in his career and just kind of look at everything that's come so far, because he's incredibly prolific. He's, you know, he's made some steps that people don't expect, but I don't think he's ever made a misstep in his career. He's incredibly creative. He chooses his, you know, who he collaborates with well. He soundtracks beautiful films that are among my favorite films. And he's a complicated figure as well. You know, he's a Christian and we'll talk a bit about kind of how we music fans who are not Christians deal with kind of Christianity in popular music. So, but yeah, okay, let's dive in. Who is Sufjan Stevens? We were saying before we started recording that what's sort of nice about Sufjan is that we don't know that much about him. And the things that we do know about him, we tend to find out through his music. He's not a big man for an interview. You won't find him doing like the Pitchfork over under YouTube, you know, or like the Genius thing where you sing your lyrics and then explain what they mean. That's not really his bag. But he was born in Detroit. He was educated in the New School as well as a kind of a Christian school and he was raised by his father. I think it's pronounced Rashid, and his stepmother Pat, while Carrie, his mother, and stepfather Lowell, he would visit them occasionally, but he was very much estranged from his mother at a young age. She had a lot of mental health and addiction issues. He was in bands as a young person. He wrote and recorded his first album during his final semester at Hope College, which was a private Christian school. And then when he got to the New School, he was like, it's not music that I want to do. I actually want to write a novel. So he became kind of obsessed with the short story form and trying to write the perfect short story. And he wrote tons and tons of short stories with a view to writing a novel. But as far as we're aware, that novel was never written, or it certainly was never published. But it was while he was in New York that he also wrote his song cycle about the Chinese zodiac called Enjoy Your Rabbit. So you can see a kind of a very, like, even from his early iterations or his early foray into music, that he was concerned with story, and he was concerned with kind of looking at other people's stories, you know, and trying to like take his, like, put his own take onto it. So yeah, from Enjoy Your Rabbit, here is Year of the Rat.
No lyrics on that, is there? No lyrics?
No, there's no lyrics on this album. He said he wanted it to be like a film soundtrack, but without the film.
It's very Nightmare Before Christmas or something.
Yeah, it is. It sort of feels like a musical, feels like a soundtrack. Like I think you can definitely get the idea of a rat in that piece. Like, it's clear that how he conceptualizes how he's making music, even this early, this is recorded between 2000 and 2001 and released in 2001, that it is very visual. And it's also, there's a Christian component on this record as well. So he goes through the different animals of the Chinese zodiac, but then like Year of the Rat, Year of the Ox. But there's also Year of, is it the Lord or our Lord? I can't remember. One or the other, which is his own kind of addition. And yeah, apparently during this kind of writing and recording, he produced like an insane amount of music that was kind of whittled down into these 13 tracks. But I think like this isn't the album I would recommend people to start with. I think this is an album that when you know Sufjan and you know how he creates music and you know the kinds of things that he's interested in doing, especially with like electronic music and with kind of orchestral stuff, it's a really nice album to kind of revisit and look at where he's kind of come from here. But there is like a lot of electronic elements.
So it's actually 2001, that album, isn't it?
Yeah, 2001, yeah.
2001, yeah, okay. So yeah, Spotify says 2004, but...
Oh, yeah, never trust Spotify. So, I mean, it's listed as kind of anything from like IDM, which is a term we love, obviously. Oh, I can see your cat in the background. Did she hear the rat? Came in to see about this rat.
She's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, IDM, glitch and electronica. And like, you know, I think this goes to show how sometimes useless genre terms like those are, because you know that could mean, it could really mean anything. But I love this piece. I don't listen to it very often, but I think it's a really nice piece to put on if you're busy doing something else and you just need a kind of a soundscape in the background. There's some really beautiful tracks on this one, but I just wanted to play one from that. So we'll go on to Michigan now and the 50 States Project. Ooh. So Sufjan, he stated an intention to kind of write one album based on each of the states of the United States, which definitely happened. And we have them all. And we're going to, the rest of the episode is us going through them one by one, basically.
But that was so funny at the time, right? Wasn't it taken so seriously?
It was.
Or was he just lost in translation? Like, it was like he joked in an interview he was going to do an album about each of the 50 states. And then it became this like, Johnny whispers of, oh no, he is doing that. And then it was like, well, maybe it was like where you can't read sarcasm on the internet. Maybe it was early in the internet where you're like,
because it was a written interview. It's like, yeah. But I also get the impression with Sufjan that he could say something as a joke, but it might not come across as a joke. Like he's not, you know.
Well, he's incredibly serious about his music, obviously. So maybe that's why you're like, and he has this kind of studious kind of composer vibe to him sometimes, and very much so. Like he's that kind of, he's not, I mean, I guess he doesn't do many interviews and he's not somebody you really see talking a lot, so you're actually you don't really know much about his manner and demeanor, so you're like, oh, what could this mean, what is he saying here? Do you remember like back then, I remember there was a campaign for a special sarcasm font, which is like the opposite of an italic, so like not forward facing but backwards facing, so to denote sarcasm, and I was like, that's a really good idea, but it never took off.
But I think, I mean, my own theory, and I'm basing this on nothing, but my own theory is that he actually did intend to do a 50 States Project, but that he didn't expect the reaction to Michigan, which is the first of the 250 States album that we get, that he didn't expect the reaction to that, and he didn't expect the amount of excitement that people kind of had about the 50 States Project, that it became too overwhelming a thing to do. Like that's my theory, but I could absolutely be wrong. What he says is that it was always a joke and he was never going to do it, but he made two. So
he did make two, these are the ones I want to do. Mm. Why did he pick Michigan? Do we know why he picked Michigan at all?
He grew up for a little while in Michigan, I believe. Okay. He kind of moved around a lot. That might not be true. I'll check that. But the first one was Michigan. This was released in 2004 and it was recorded entirely by Sufjan kind of in his home, in his friends' homes and in a church. Which is, I think, very emblematic of just him. It's like, the self, the friend, and God. And on this album, Sufjan himself played the oboe, the English horn, the piano, the electric organ, the electric piano, the banjo, the acoustic and electric guitar, the bass, the vibraphone, the xylophone, the glockenspiel, the recorders, the wood flute, the whistles, the drums, the percussion, vocals, and he did the layout, art design, arrangement, mixing, and production of the album. So, you know,
Yeah, but somebody else played the trumpet, so he didn't do everything.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, if he was a woman, people would be like, oh, well, she didn't play everything on the album, do you know? Yeah. So this is, I think this is the album I would recommend to people first, would be Michigan. Right.
Yeah.
Because I think before you go into Illinois, I think it's really good to have a sort of a basis in Sufjan. It's good to have a kind of familiarity with his language and his concerns. And I think Michigan is a really great introduction to that. But it's not like it's a scrappier version of Illinois. It's a different kind of album, but they are very interconnected, obviously thematically being States albums, but also kind of instrumentally in how kind of big it can sound at times. It has all of the hallmarks of the kind of the signature Sufjan sounds. It's, you know, conceptual, beautiful instrumentation, beautiful harmonies, very sprawling engagement with the theme. And I love when Sufjan deals with like location and the local in his music. And I think a great example of that is Flint for the Unemployed and Underpaid. And that sounds like this.
Driving to the riverside, I pretend to cry. Even if I cried alone, I forgot the start. Use my hands to use my heart, even if I died alone.
It's such a beautiful, simple melody. That's the opening track of the album. And just as soon as I hear that opening on like low down on the piano, I'm like, oh, I'm home. I'm in Michigan where I live. You know, I've never visited Michigan. I've never visited, you know, Illinois. But, you know, yeah. I feel like I know so much about these states through these albums. Yeah, it's such a beautiful, beautiful song, such a beautiful melody.
The only thing I know about Finch is what was your man's name who made the documentary about the town? Michael Moore.
About That's Flint.
Didn't you write that documentary about it?
Yes. And the other thing that is kind of in the conversation right now is that Flint doesn't have clean water.
So it's been going on for a while, because isn't that not what the film is partly about?
It's I think General so. I never Motors. Actually watched that film, but
I've seen it many, many years ago. General Motors is in the setup in the town, have like car plants in Flint, Michigan, and then it reduces its employment, and then things go wrong, and then Flint. Yeah. I think there's some contamination possibly of the water system, and it's never really been fixed, which is kind of bad.
It's a place that people talk about in terms of like the American sort of the industrialization of towns in order to boost employment, and you have like, you know, this is an oil town and this is a car motors town, and this is, you know, we're rubber people, and that sort of the segregation of industry and commerce by location is really interesting, and is a kind of a like nearly in the way that they do it, a nearly kind of uniquely American thing. So then when it does go wrong, it's, you know, Flint sort of is what happens. And obviously it's called Flint brackets for the Unemployed and Underpaid. And on this album, we get a lot of like Sufjan's song titles, obviously, but like his titles are a lot of fun. He loves a bracket. He loves a really, really, really long song title. Like there's "Oh Detroit, lift up your weary head," brackets, rebuild, restore, reconsider, which is all exclamation points. There's Oh God, Where Are You Now? Brackets, In Pickerel Lake, Pigeon, Marquette, Mackinac. So he's saying a lot in his song titles as well. And yeah. I do really love a long song title that kind of does a lot of explaining about what the song is, rather than just, you know, one word or two words. But another song I wanted to highlight from this album is called Say Yes to Michigan, which is a song about, I guess, kind of nostalgia for a place and going back to where one is raised and where he is raised. So this is Say Yes to Michigan! Exclamation point.
By a priest and the maid on the part. Still I know what to wear on my back. Michigan, Poncho and Cadillac. If I ever meant to go away, I was raised
I think in that song, the I was raised refrain comes back later in Illinois in The Predatory Wasps of the Palisades. It has a kind of a similar kind of call response structure, and we'll play that later. So listen out for that. Yeah. So I think Michigan is like, it's a lot of people's, like a lot of like diehard Sufjan fans will kind of have this as their favorite album of his. Kind of more broadly, it does sit in the shadow of Illinois, because Illinois is the next state's project to come, and it was so huge and it was, you know, incredibly critically acclaimed and so on. But I think Michigan, like all of the, like it's more than just the building blocks for Illinois that's there. Like it is a uniquely, it's a unique album because of the themes it's dealing with. He doesn't take Illinois and Michigan and deal with them in the same way either. And it's beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful album to return to. It's really lush. It's really well produced. But before Illinois comes Seven Swans. Are you familiar with this one?
Oh, I love this album so much.
You love
it's
this one?
One of my favorite ones. Yeah, right. I think it's just, it has an atmosphere to it. It has, it was one of the first I listened to after probably Illinois, probably the first one I listened to. And I was like, wow, just, do you know when you discover an artist and you're like, this guy has loads of other stuff that's really interesting too, and it's really good.
Yeah.
And this is, Seven Swans is like that for me. It's very like meditative. It's very, it's in keeping with his kind of, you know, kind of pious religious nature almost as well. It's a very religious album.
It's a song cycle based on kind of Christian themes and Christian figures from the Bible. And it is, I agree, it is absolutely beautiful. It's very, very meditative. It's very inviting. This is something I talked about when we last spoke about Sufjan on our Best of October album roundup, that when he does deal with religious concepts, he does so in a very inviting way, which isn't always the case with kind of Christian music.
Yeah,
but yeah, here's,
I mean, it can be read as circular or like a secular as well. It can be felt as secular as well.
That's what's so great about him, is that like when he's singing about love, he's kind of simultaneously singing about like the love of family and the love of you know, loved ones, but he's also singing about God, because to him those concepts are inextricably linked, you know, which is so it's so beautiful. But yeah, the song I chose from this is Abraham, but if you have a favorite, feel free to play that one instead.
Well, I think they all kind of give you a good impression of what the album's like, because it has a similar vibe. So let's play Abraham.
Abraham, worth the righteous one. Take upon the wood, put it on your son. Lake or lamb,
Let's play a bit of another song for the crack. Here is The Dress Looks Nice on You.
I can see a lot of life in you. I can see a lot of bright in you. And I think the dress looks nice on you. I can see a lot of life in you.
Seven Swans is one of those real nice, relaxing, chill Sufjan releases.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
and
it's
here,
so nice.
You can hear
it's such a
his,
nice atmosphere.
His sort of like his very quintessential kind of finger-picking style, which I love so much. Abraham is a really, really short song. It's kind of only a couple of lines. It's like two sentences about the figure of Abraham who wanted to sacrifice his son to God, but then an angel comes and says, no, don't sacrifice your son. So then he sacrifices a lamb instead. And The Dress Looks Nice on You is song about a girl that I think he was either friends with or he dated when he was young, and she taught him what nice things to say to girls are. So it's nice when a girl arrives somewhere or comes out of, like, you know, comes down the stairs and you say, that dress looks nice on you. And I think that's really sweet.
Okay.
It's a very sweet kind of sentiment, and quite boyish as well. And there's so much of Sufjan's music that I think has this like real boyish sort of innocence, this boyish quality, this kind of naivety. And I think, you know, dedicating a song to someone who taught you nice things to say to girls is really, really sweet and you know, in that kind of boyish way. So yeah, Seven Swans is beautiful. It's one that I would say if you liked the sound of those songs, or you like the, you know, the themes that we've been talking about, you could definitely start with this. Like this is like a lot of the next few, like a lot of these albums that we're talking about right now are good departure points. Michigan, Seven Swans, and then the next one being Illinois. So yeah, let's talk about Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the big one. It's the the one.
It's
that
the classic album in his
discography.
I think it's his Pet Sounds, definitely.
So when we put this on sale for the listening party this week, I mean, the listening party can only allow for like 40 people to be there at it. And that's kind of nice. But there was huge demand for this. And I had emails from people who were like, didn't get tickets and stuff like that. I remember back when I think it was 2012 or 2013 or something. No, maybe 2015 or so. Let's check that. When I put on the Glasshouse Ensemble performing Sufjan. And the reason we did that with Glasshouse and Sufjan in the Douglas Hyde Gallery is because he played a gig there once, and we were like, that'd be a nice nod to do. So it's 2018 actually. So we did two nights in the end because he'd done a gig 14 years previously. So that was 2004 in the Douglas Hyde Gallery. And so as a nod to that, we put on two nights in the end with Glasshouse performing the music of Sufjan Stevens because there's so much demand for it. And it's very unusual for an artist like this who's sort of, you know, he's not underground, but he's not massively popular either in terms of you wouldn't know it, but there is huge love for him out there and people absolutely fall over this album especially. I ended up talking to Asthmatic Kitty, his label, and I'm not actually sure who I was talking to, but they were just like, look, great, you're doing it. Just like, don't use this photo. It was basically what they were saying to me. I was like, cool.
Fair enough.
Fine. But they were, this is the one that people go absolutely crazy for. So why is that? I mean, let's talk about why.
And quite rightly, you know. So this comes out following, so we've got Michigan in 2003, Seven Swans in 2004, and then Illinois in 2005. I think part of the initial sort of excitement about this album is, oh my God, he's done another 50 States album. And like, so even before you listen to it, I'm familiar with the Michigan record. I loved the Michigan record. I love what he did with that. We're going to get this again with Illinois. And we do and we don't. Like, I think Illinois is a much more, what's the word, ambitious album, for sure, in terms of like the scope of it, in terms of its instrumentation, in terms of what he's doing with, you know, time signatures, in terms of harmonies, like everything is sort of him at his best and his most creative and his least inhibited. And to even just to talk about it, like, you need to talk about the cover. Like, the cover is in itself iconic. It was held up for ages. It was supposed to be, the album was supposed to be released like much earlier, like by a few months or something, but they couldn't get permission to use Superman on the cover, so they had to use like a little drawing of a, you know, unnamed, you know, world saving hero. And it's styled, the album title is styled on the cover as Sufjan invites you to come on, feel the Illinois. So you'll hear people call this Illinois, you'll hear people call it Illinois. They're interchangeable. You can kind of call it either. And this is the album that has Chicago on it, which is, it's his First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes. It's his Heartbeats by Jose Gonzalez. It's his, you know, it's his song. It's the song that if you're looking to use a Sufjan song in like film and television, you know, we had The Bear this year, but in the first season of The Bear, it's used really well. It's actually a live version used in The Bear. It's the song you choose.
Yeah, it's the go-to.
It's the go-to song, and it's a beautiful song. And I think it's the first song of his that I really loved, because this was the album that got me into Sufjan Stevens. I was like, what is this mad album? Like, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Like, but it's an album that I have kind of grown with so much. I listen to it so often. I listen to it as an album more than I will dip into it, because if I want to just listen to one song, I'll end up just letting the rest of the album play anyway. And it, like many, many, many other people, this album just means so much to me. It's the sound of me sort of finding my feet in terms of the music that I like. It's like, it's so big and so small at the same time. And I get something out of it every single time I listen to it.
Yeah, it's a sprawling. It's very long. It's got lots.
Very long.
Lots to get into. Every time you listen to it, you're like, oh, yeah, that one. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's really great. There's so many great songs on it. That you kind of go, oh yeah, I haven't listened to that one in a while.
Yeah, like lyrically, you can go down a lot of rabbit holes, and I still do. But also instrumentally, like when you listen to it, you're like, oh God, I didn't notice that horn there, or I didn't notice that, like, you know, really low in the mix electric guitar that comes in here. And from Sufjan's perspective, it's still a very personal album, but probably a little bit less so than Michigan. I think he's dealing with Illinois as a state from a much more kind of historical perspective. You know, he said before that he did like months and months of research, like looking through historical documents and, you know, reading a lot of documentation while writing the album, which I think is adorable, frankly, but, you know, worth it as well. Like, he really wanted to capture what the state of Illinois, like a kind of a historical perspective of the state of Illinois, and something a bit more reflective that you can think about in the 2000s. And it's also very concerned with his faith. It, like all music from basically Seven Swans onwards. So here's just the, I suppose, I don't know if you can call it a centerpiece of an album if it comes as early as this song does. It's the third track, but this is Come On! Exclamation point. Feel the Illinois, part one, the world's Columbian Exposition. Part two, Carl Sandburg visits me in a dream.
Oh, great white city, I've got the adequate committee. Where have your walls gone? I think about it now. Thank you.
that song is long. It's in two parts. It changes time signatures. We heard the kind of the 5-4 signature there, which is like, you know, kind of giddy and a little bit like,
yeah,
unstable, it feels. But it's like that song, I just think, contains everything you need to know about Sofyan. Like, it's such a beautiful, beautiful song. It's so rich. It's so lush. It's so big and grand. And just kind of looking at things like in a completely different way. Like, so he's like, oh, I want to write a song about Illinois. I'm going to research the 1893 World's Fair, because that seems like the correct starting point for this, you know. And it's about, like, the song is about art and it's about industry and consumerism and commerce and progress and kind of where art fits into all that. And he references the kind of specific, like, products that were exhibited at the World's Fair, the soft drinks, the Ferris wheel, the cream of wheat. And I think really captures the sort of, like, excitement that people must have felt. Like, Harry recently read a book about the World's Fair, and was telling me all about it, and just like the absolutely mad feeling that people had, that, you know, we are actually entering into the future here, and this is a future that is going to be for everybody. We're all going to benefit from this. This is the American dream, you know. And I think it's all sort of wrapped up in the World's Fair, and also about, like, how they were, you know, flying in exotic animals from all over the world and just like all this mad stuff. I'll ask him what the name of the book is, and we can put it in the show notes, but I don't have it to hand right now. He's also, but Sofyan is like, you know, he captures all of that excitement, but he captures it in a way that sort of highlights a naivety or a trickery, maybe. You know, he's asking, like, what would Frank Lloyd Wright say about this? You know, what is the impact of this commercial kind of, like, the building blocks of the state being so commercial? He's wondering, like, what are the impact of the ads? You know, he says, but when the ads come, I think about it now. And he looks back on kind of the hope of the World's Fair with a bit of, like, a sorrow or a shame, given the state of the world kind of, and the state of America regarding consumerism today. And I just think that, like, how he does all that lyrically, how he does it musically, like, if anyone asked me, like, prove to me that Sofyan Stevens is a genius, this is the song I play them. Like, there's, like, you can listen to it hundreds and hundreds of times, which I have, and you can still find something in it that is new and exciting and clever and not self-satisfied in its own cleverness either. It's like, this feels, because it's such an excitable song, because it's so kind of bursting at the seams with ideas, and there's almost too much in it, but not quite. You can feel how excited he is to kind of tell you everything he learned, and, you know,
yeah,
like, think about it, and, you know, what must it have been like? Imagine.
Kind of like,
it's got a gallop to it. Exactly. That's the perfect way to say it. It's got a gallop to it. And, you know, beautiful, beautiful harmonies in it as well. Like, you know, his female backing vocalists are all over this record, and I think that they really shine in this song. It's I could talk about this song for hours and I won't, but this is a big, big, big Sofyan song. And if you haven't listened to it, like, properly, you know, with the lyrics, and it's like, it's a great one to just spend an afternoon with. Yeah,
but there are many moments like this on this record as well.
There are tons. There's so many. Like, you know, like I said, Chicago's on this record. I didn't choose Chicago to play, just because I think people are very familiar with it, you know. Kashmir,
the song almost got ruined, like, a couple of years after it was released, I think. Like, it got co-opted by, you know, kind of very mainstream, like, it was used a lot on, like, football ads and stuff, and you're like, oh, this is weird.
Was it?
Oh. Yeah, I remember hearing I think it, like, RT would use it a lot and stuff. Like, I was like, this is weird. Oh. Please stop.
It was very big on kind of ukulele YouTube as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. That was ukulele time. Yeah,
this
for sure.
The ukulele and then
I think actually, like, Today FM and places like that used to play this, which is cool, but also like, wow, okay, you wouldn't expect it. But because it is a 6-minute esoteric song about a US state, so therefore you're like, well, there's lots going on there. Lyrically as well, you're like, if I was crying in the van with my friend, it was for freedom. Yeah, so not the kind of thing you'd normally hear on Today FM or most radio stations these days.
I never noticed that subversive. I never noticed that it was 6 minute song before you said it there. Yeah, 6 minutes, 4 seconds. Yeah, and there's also Kashmir Pulaski Day, which is an incredibly, incredibly sad song about a loved one dying over a holiday weekend in March. And I won't play that just because it's early in the day and I don't intend to cry generally before noon. So I've chosen definitely another song that does make me cry, but won't today because I practiced before we came on, which is The Predatory Wasp of the Palisades is Out to Get Us.
I come out wearing my brother's red hat. There on his shoulder my best friend is bit. 7 times he runs washing his face in his hands. Oh, how I meant to tease him. Oh, how I meant no harm. Touching his back with my hand, I kiss him. I see the wasp on the length of my arm.
It's so beautiful. I've such a strong memory of studying in the UCD James Joyce Library and listening to this album and this song playing. And it was like, it was for my summer exams. It was a summer's day outside. And I just sort of just sat back and just took the few minutes and listened to it and really let the song kind of like seep into me, you know, because I'd listened to it before with the album, but for some reason it was just that day. There was whatever it was about the light, or you know, it's for some reason that day it all hit me. But yeah, I think I chose this song because I think it's we haven't mentioned kind of sexuality yet in Sofyan's music, and it's something that is important. I mean, I don't want to use phrases like got confirmation, but I mean, like there's been a lot of, we'll say, kind of well-meaning speculation about Sofyan's sexuality within his fans over the past, you know, decade or whatever it is. And this is a song that I think deals with sexuality really, really beautifully. It tells the story of kind of falling in love or being in love with a boy over the span of a summer at a summer camp. I think we can probably infer that it is a Christian summer camp, given his upbringing and also given how he's kind of dealing with feelings of guilt and shame throughout the song, and how he deals with it with a very sort of like very gently engaged with forbidden kind of love. There's a real innocence in the love that is in this song. You know, it's like the absolute most important thing in the world, or the absolute most terrifying thing in the world is kissing a boy. And that's the extent of it. And there is, you know, that sort of, like I was saying earlier, that kind of like boyishness, sweetness, innocence that's in it. And I think it's a really beautiful example of how he can take a topic like that, like a first love or a first realization or awakening, and make it sound so hopeful and jubilant, and how he can focus on the image of a wasp biting or stinging his friend and the effect that it had on him, like the emotional effect of his friend being stung by a wasp is, and it's just like, you know, who else is doing that? Like, who else is talking about love in that way? And like I actually don't always like Kashmir Pulaski Day. I don't, when I'm listening to this album, there are times when I'll skip this song because I just like, it is so much kind of emotionally to listen to it. It's like the backing vocals, like the, oh, great sights upon this state, hallelujah. And then they don't get to finish the hallelujah. And it just punches me in the heart every time I hear it. It's so beautiful. It's an amazing song.
Great. I mean, there's so much to get through. So let's move it on a little bit from Illinois. Maybe we'll talk a bit more at our event about Illinois, because you could do a whole album about this easily, and or a whole episode about this.
I could do a whole episode about each of these songs. You know,
this is one of those albums that you could do that dissect podcast about. You know, like, and you would have too much to talk about still.
100%, 100%.
20, whatever.
So we'll move on somewhat, because the next thing I want to talk about is Avalanche, which is a collection of outtakes from the Illinois album. So we're not moving away too quickly, but we are onto a new album territory, which is Avalanche, which came, what year did Avalanche?
2006. So this is an hour and 15 long. It has 21 songs on it?
Yes.
So just to give you an idea.
A lot of those songs are Chicago.
Yeah.
There's at least three new versions of Chicago on this.
Okay. Acoustic version,
adult contemporary, easy listening version, which is the one I want to play.
Okay. And then multiple personality disorder version,
which is also great. All three of them are amazing. But yeah, I chose the adult contemporary easy listening version because I don't think it gets enough love. And I really love this version. So yeah, here it is.
We sold our clothes to the state. I don't mind, I don't mind. I made a lot of mistakes.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I love that version. I'm also not going to spend too much time on this album. But another song that I absolutely love from this record is No Man's Land. And I think it could have very easily fit into Illinois as a record, but it's on Avalanche instead.
There was a car in the bay by the boat that swam.
swept and swayed. Whoever you are, in the light, in the water that we made. I'm counting it out, I'm counting it out, I'm working it out inside. I'm counting it out to the floor.
You know, very few people have that kind of intricate level of instrumentation and arrangements on their outtakes.
Like, honest to God, like, and this is how I feel. Like, I think these three albums, Michigan, Illinois, and The Avalanche, I think of them as a set, because I think that's sort of like, even in the outtakes, it's all there. You know, there's the big brass, there's the beautiful harmonies, like it's all very, very well thought out. So I do tend to kind of put these three in a little set together. And if I'm listening to one, I'm probably going to listen to another the next. So that's 2006. And Avalanche is, you know, it's an outtakes album. So it's not, I don't know if it's considered part of his like studio album, like oeuvre, but yeah. I would recommend listening to it. Absolutely. Like as an album. But we have to wait then until 2010.
Because he's done it. He did a few things in between that time. We're not going to focus on that now. The project about the motorway, Brooklyn Queens Expressway.
Yeah.
And he had collaborations he did that. But yeah, we're going to skip past that because, I mean, this is kind of like when things kind of grew into, and he came back with his first proper album, which is The Age of Ads.
Yes. So The Age of Ads, we hear electronics in this album, you know, kind of first time we're dealing with that since the first record, really. This is, you know, first album we've had in, depending on who you ask, 5 years or 4 years. It's much more, there's more manipulation of his vocals. It's a more produced album, more akin to Enjoy Your Rabbit. And he said in a Pitchfork interview in 2006, I'm getting tired of my voice. I'm getting tired of the banjo. I'm getting tired of the trumpet. And while he was writing this album, he was recovering from an illness as well. So Love and Death and God, we have the kind of the trifecta of Sufjan very much in this album as well, very intertwined. He rarely engages with one of those concepts without linking the other two. And it's everywhere on this album. But I guess unlike the three albums we just talked about, and certainly the States projects, there's no real kind of concept. You know, you look at it and it's The Age of Ads and you think that it's going to be an album all about advertising and kind of, you know, commerce and the things he was dealing with in Illinois. And that's definitely there, but it's also a very personal album. It's very introspective, and he's not as much conceptualizing his emotions within a kind of, you know, a state or a song cycle or the Bible or whatever it might be. So we get a really beautiful song opening it, Futile Devices, which appeared on the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack. People might be familiar with that. That was released alongside Mystery of Love, which I think are two of his best songs. So yeah, here's Futile Devices.
It's been 4 hours now since I've wandered through your place. And when I sleep on your couch, I feel very safe. And when you bring the blankets, I cover up my face. I do.
That's Futile Devices. And I think it's maybe a little bit of a, what's the word? Like a false start for this album, because you know, a lot of the rest of the album is quite different to this, but you can hear in his vocals there and in sort of the, you know, the production of the song, it's got a little bit of a bit more graininess. His vocals have a bit more graininess. There's a bit of a, there's like a kind of a screen between him and us. It's not as much, you know, him directly into the microphone kind of speaking to us. There's a bit of a remove there, which I think is really beautiful, and it's an atmosphere, that's the word I was looking for. But elsewhere the album is really, really kind of experimental and out of the sort of comfort zone that I think Sufjan has been in, and also Sufjan fans have been in. So here's just a little bit of the 8-minute title track, The Age of Ads.
Yeah, much more bombastic in scope, much more like dynamically detailed and less intimate for sure than any of his
less intimate
stuff.
Do you think his vocals in that snippet, do you think they sound like anyone in particular? Anyone else? I think he sounds like Bono.
Okay.
I think there's a bit of Bono in his vocal delivery there. Go back and listen to it later and just think Bono.
Okay.
think Bono. Yeah. So look, there's a lot to get into on The Age of Ads. It's a great, great record. It's one that I don't listen to that often, but returning to it for this, I was like, yeah, there's loads of good songs on this. But we're going to skip forward again. We're going to go to 2015.
I did see him in 2011, just after that album came out, when he played in the Olympia there.
Yeah,
I just saw there is a review of the gig of Bon 909 from 2011, and I was super impressed. But he also played a lot of the older stuff as well. But yeah, very big, like lots of, they called it a cosmic pageant at the time. So like a real big undertaking, kind of a very theatrical show. So yeah, if you want to have a look at that.
Yeah. So we skip forward to 2015. Sufjan is jumping off the electronic music train, and he's harking back instead to his kind of much more intimate, much more acoustic work with Carrie and Lowell. This is a lot of fans' favorite Sufjan album. If it's not Illinois, it's probably going to be this. And it's deeply, deeply, deeply personal. I think it contains his most beautiful songs, like his most just like on the surface level, aesthetically beautiful songs. And it's been really hard to choose just a couple of them for today. But the album was written following the death of Sufjan's mother, Carrie, in 2012, who, as I said earlier, he had a very, you know, tumultuous relationship with, but loved her very much. And he's on this album, he's working through a lot of his memories from his childhood, while also trying to come to terms with the grief he's feeling after her passing. And, you know, as we've said, Sufjan is a Christian, so that plays a, you know, your Christianity is never tested more than when there is a death, and especially the death of a parent who raised you Christian, you know. So it's very complicated. It's a desperately sad album and utterly, utterly beautiful. Like, at times, this is just breathtaking, this music. My favorite song on the album, I think, right now, is Should Have Known Better. So here's a bit of that.
My black shroud holding down my face. fantasy. Oh, be my rest, be my fantasy.
So he's working through his initial reactions to her dying and the things he's kind of trying to do or feeling that he should do, like writing letters and grieving properly, because he kind of didn't initially start to grieve her.
Yeah.
Kind of in a, I don't know, in a healthy way or in the way that you would expect. It's so beautiful. That change up into the, oh, be my rest, be my fantasy, is just like, you know, harmonically just so, so touching. And elsewhere on the album, I've only chosen two songs from this album, but I would really, really recommend everybody to listen to it kind of from start to finish. But
these are great songs. These are two of his best.
Yeah. So the 4th of July, which is right now actually his top song, his top played song on Spotify. So I don't know why that is. It's always been Chicago. I don't know why this has kind of pipped it to the post. No, it was for a while. Mystery of Love from the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack. But yeah, 4th of July, this is written as a conversation between Sufjan and Kari, and is just one of the most devastating pieces of music I've ever heard. Here's just a small bit of it. So after that, the next we hear of Sufjan is that he's written music inspired by Ariana Grande's Thank You Next. So the man contains
multitudes. Thank God for that. I was on the edge.
The man contains multitudes. Yeah, The Ascension is the next album that comes from Sufjan in 2020. It's described by Sufjan as a pop album. It wasn't as well received as Kari and Lowell. I think, did we talk about this? I have a memory of perhaps us talking about this. We may have reviewed it. I don't remember what I thought of it at the time, but I'll admit I don't return to this album very often. But I did for today, and I think there's a lot of really, really good stuff on it. So I'll choose one song from it. This is Video Game.
Definitely a more
pop music,
straightforward sound for Sufjan. Yeah, like 80s.
You can hear the link between this and Ariana Grande's Thank You Next, for sure. I'm going to move swiftly on to 2021. Convocations, a collection of 49 instrumental songs written following the death of his father, which he described as a 49-track reflection on a year of anxiety, uncertainty, isolation, and loss. He said, so obviously bear in mind this is 2021, I think this past year I've just felt so overwhelmed with the content of the world, the pandemic, and all the extreme sort of political movements and racial inequality, and then the terror of this invisible plague. All of that is just like weight bearing down on us every day. I felt I had almost been rendered speechless in a way. I wanted to create music that didn't have a narrative and didn't have verbal content. So here is Meditation 5 from that collection.
Yeah, I think the nature of that album, the way it came out, was quite difficult to, you know, really get your... It's not a casual listen, for sure, the length.
No, and I mean, it's different to Carrie and Lowell. You know, like, we got a lot of, I suppose, information in Carrie and Lowell. We got a lot of very personal stories about his mother. But with his father, we don't see that, we don't hear that relationship kind of lyrically in this, and I think that's why it takes kind of 49 songs for him to make his way through all of that. This is another one that I don't return to a lot, because I think what I love so much about Sufjan is his vocals. So it's literally just a kind of an aesthetic preference thing, but these are beautiful tracks. They're kind of organized into different, you know, meditations and so on. So that's, what is that, 2021? That's a 5-volume collection, by the way. It's long. It's an undertaking. And then it brings us to this year. It brings us to Javelin, which is the sort of like the surprise return to the melodic, expressive Sufjan that, you know, we've seen come and go a lot throughout the years. You know, he rushes off somewhere and does a lot of like electronic stuff, but he always comes back to this. And I think this is his sort of like, this is the state that he's most comfortable in. And we'll talk about this one a little bit now. But as I said before, we do have, or at least I have a review of it in our Best Of episode for October, where I talk a bit about the context. But I mean, the short context for this is that Sufjan has been extremely ill over the past year or so, and is on the mend now, is home from hospital, had to have a lot of rehabilitative work, had to learn to walk again, was very, very severely kind of impaired for a while there, and was keeping us updated on his journey on his Tumblr account, which I love that he has a Tumblr account. And we also learned that very, very sadly, his partner passed away earlier this year as well. And we learned that on the day of the album's release, he told us that. So it was a really, it was kind of a lot to take in. It was a lot for him to give us all at once, this album, which is, again, you know, incredibly personal. Like it's this and Carrie and Lowell, I think, are the two albums that I would imagine were the most difficult to put out in the world. So yeah, basically it brings us to Javelin. Like I think it's among his best records. I'd put it there with Carrie and Lowell. I'd put it there with Illinois. I'd put it there with Michigan. It's an incredible piece,
and it's Sufjan at his most Sufjan-y in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's play a bit of just a little bit of Genuflecting Ghost.
Yeah, look, we won't say too much about Javelin now. We have end of year stuff coming up. We're probably, I'm definitely going to be talking about it. I don't know if you are, but there'll be more time for Javelin. So I know I said I wasn't going to foray into his other works, but I had one thing I wanted to bring up, which is that Sufjan has a Christmas album. And as it's the time of year to be listening to the Sufjan Christmas album, I tend to wait until mid-November. Myself and Alan Maguire will text each other when we have our first Sufjan Christmas song. So I'll just play one. This is Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Is it Come Thou Font of Every Blessing from Songs for Christmas? And if you haven't listened to this album, do yourself a favor. Just like while you're putting up the Christmas tree, it's beautiful.
Come thou fount of teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, mount of thy unchanging.
So yeah, Sufjan did a lot of EP stuff, I think mostly for friends and family originally, and this is a collection of a box set basically of five separate EPs and other stuff, so it amounts to over 2 hours of Christmas music, a very prolific seasonal music, and one of the
lot of hymns.
Best modern kind of examples of Christmas music that is palatable and yes. continues to be palatable, because yes. that is a tough call for many people to be able to achieve.
Absolutely. And I think part of that is that a lot of these are hymns, and hymns are timeless and amazing and beautiful. And yeah, there was a whole thing about, you know, him sending a fan, like, won a competition, and he sent a fan a Christmas song, and he was the only person in the world who had it, and there's a whole story about that. Maybe I'll talk about it more at Christmas, but yeah, wanted to shout out the Songs for Christmas, because it's beautiful. And that's Sufjan. I mean, you know, I feel like
it's a top line kind of Sufjan, for sure.
I was skimming the surface of Sufjan, because I mean, like I said earlier, I could talk for an entire episode about, you know, one song, but this is very much, you know, if you know a few of his songs and you're like, oh, I really should get into him, I think hopefully this was a good overview for you. And hopefully, you know, I maintain, start with Michigan, but you can equally start with Carrie and Lowell. You can kind of, you can go in wherever you like. Maybe not Age of Ads. Maybe not.
No, probably not. And Illinois as well. You could start with that.
You can start with Illinois.
You can start with Javelin.
Illinois. You can start with the new one, definitely. But I would earn Illinois. I would build your way up to Illinois, because then it's just like this whole thing. Yeah, he's amazing.
And the other thing I love about Sufjan, and like, it is, you know, there's so much, like we talked about, there's so much of his family in this music as well. Mm. He writes about them. He works with his stepdad as well with the label Asthmatic Kitty, yeah. run with his stepdad. So, you know, it's just always, it's very homely. It's remained that kind of resolutely independent kind of thing. Asthmatic Kitty being the label and always continuing, even when Call Me By Your Name and he was playing the Oscars and stuff like that, you were like, oh, look at him, he's playing Oscars.
I know.
And like, those,
it's kind of like when
Elliot
Smith
thing.
Was playing at the Oscars, it's like, what are you doing here, you're mine, like, what are you doing, what are you doing there in front of Celine Dion, like, it's crazy. And his Oscars performance of Mystery of Love is so beautiful, and I haven't played Mystery of Love, but like, oh my god. And the fucking song from the Tonya Harding soundtrack as well.
He did two songs about Tonya Harding, didn't he?
Amazing. I think that we have another episode in us about kind of Sufjan's like offshoots, and his he's scored films, he's done so much, but this is a good place to start, I think.
For sure. All right, we're going to leave it there this week, because it's busy, busy time. And I'm going to the dentist. Let's be honest. That's what's happening.
I have to go to the dentist. I was late for the dentist. So
we're that's great. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's patreon.com/Niler9. We'll be back with kicking off our best of 2023 episodes, including the famed Niler9 Podcast Awards. But yeah, we'll be starting with them on our next episode, whenever that may be. Who knows exactly?
Yeah.
I have a baby on the way in the next few days, possibly.
It's coming.
So we'll just have to play it by ear. So let's just see what happens. Okay. Yeah. That's
and
it.
Thanks
for
so much to Georgia
week.
For this, for producing this episode. We have a new,
new
member of the team.
Great help. Thank you so much. Right. Thanks, Georgia. And thanks everybody for listening. And we will talk to you next week. Bye. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.